We open with hymn number 40. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against fence an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are my God and my strength. Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are my God and my
God, because thou hast willed that thy Son shouldst bear for us the pains of the cross, that thou mightest remove from us the power of the adversary, cause us so to remember and give thanks for the passion of our Lord, that we may obtain remission of sins and redemption from everlasting death. Through the same Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who livest and reignest with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen.
Our Old Testament lesson is found in the 21st chapter of Numbers, the 4th through the 9th verse. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take the serpents away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole, and it was so. If a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. Teach me to do your will. He delivers me from my enemies. You have delivered me from the violent man.
The epistle lesson is found in the 9th chapter of Hebrews, the 11th through the 15th verse. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance.
Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, let Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed on my back, they made their furrows long. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in pieces the cords of the wicked.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 8th chapter of John, the 46th through the 59th verse. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not rightly say that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "We know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God, yet you have not known him. But I know him, and if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old. And have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here ends the gospel.
We confess the Christian faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 415.
mercy and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text this morning is found in the 8th chapter of John, the 42nd through the 59th verse. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth from and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Then the Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Most assuredly, I say to you that if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Then the Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him. But I know him, and if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do know him, and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, no one likes to be called a liar or a murderer. Do you think that the Jews who accuse Jesus in our lesson here believe that they are liars, murderers, or as Jesus calls them, children of the devil? No, they think that they are the holy and the righteous ones. And they are angered at Jesus' accusation that he would accuse them otherwise. They, in fact, turn his accusation around. They accuse him of being the one who is demon-possessed. And yet, by the end of the chapter, they prove the very accusation which Jesus makes against him. They are murderers, just like their father, for they take up stones and try to kill Jesus. Now, they do not take up stones right away. At first, they're only angry. And the more Jesus talks, the more angry that they become, until finally they are ready to kill him. What is it that angers them so? Is it because Jesus is talking about their sins? Well, that's maybe part of it. But what really gets them angry is that Jesus is talking about himself. He reveals more and more about himself. Until finally, in no uncertain terms, he claims to be the very God who called Abraham, the father in whom they trusted. The more Jesus reveals his nature, the more they want to kill him. Now, crazy people claim to be God all the time. That doesn't make people want to kill them. Why is it different with Jesus? Because only Jesus truly is God. And the works which he has done and the scriptures which he has fulfilled prove that he is God. And the more Jesus is revealed to be who he is, the more those who hate him are revealed to be who they are. If Jesus is God in human flesh, then the rest stand as the murderers of the prophets. You see, there's not a middle ground which Jesus allows anyone to have. He is the incarnate God, and man is corrupt and lost and damned, even if they happen to be children of Abraham. There is no middle condition which they can claim. Jesus consigns all men, even the holiest and most revered of men, to the same position as the publicans, the prostitutes, all of the sinners which the Jews despised. And so the more Jesus shows himself to be God, the more completely he consigns the rest of the world to damnation. If Jesus is true God, then all men, and not just the Jews, must by nature be liars, murderers, and children of the devil. Because if God has to come in human flesh in order to redeem men, then all men are reprobates, lost, unholy, unrighteous, and powerless to redeem themselves or to merit even the small favors from God, much less great ones such as eternal life. If you deny that you are a reprobate, if you deny that you are one of the lost ones, that you need a Savior who redeems you from the curse of sin, then you are calling God a liar. And then you become the liar. This was always the problem that God's people had in ancient times when God sent prophets to them and he preached repentance to them. They became angry and they killed God's prophets. Why? Because the prophets accused them of sin and they wanted to think of themselves as holy. But God, through his prophets, would not let them then. He does not let them now. He does not let any of us now. He insists that we are not holy, that only he can make us holy. And so, the Jews of old killed the prophets, and now that Jesus has come, this is much, much worse, because not only did God send them a prophet, he himself came to preach to them, and not just to preach to them, to redeem them from sin and death. As if they are just like the sinners, just like the Gentiles. If they are so bad that God actually has to step in among them to save them. Does the world hate Jesus like these people hated Jesus and wanted to kill him? At first glance, you may think that the world does not hate Jesus to this degree. After all, look at all of the world religions, except perhaps Judaism, that seem bound and determined to make Jesus one of their own. Islam claims that Jesus is one of their revered prophets. The Dalai Lama today claims that he loves Jesus and gains much inspiration from him. Many other Buddhists have done the same. Atheists, ironically, seem to like Jesus, at least the ones who don't deny that he ever existed. They think that he's a good humanist and a peacemaker, much to admire. The Jews in our lesson also would have loved Jesus just as much as all these others if they didn't have to deal with the real Jesus, the one who actually performed miracles and preached in Galilee and Judea. Because the Jews are not different than the other men of this world. Muslims, atheists, and all the other religious leaders who would love to claim Jesus as their own are unanimous in this. That Jesus is not the only true God, Son of the Father, come down in human flesh to save them. And in fact, if you insist that only that is the true Jesus, you quickly find that they are not interested in this Jesus. They have their own Jesus that they like better. And if you insist that their Jesus is not the true Jesus, that the real Jesus came forth from God the Father even testified of him from heaven. He was the very one, in fact, who spoke to Abraham from the burning bush. If this is who Jesus is, you will find that they hate this Jesus. Islam will scream blasphemy against their prophet Muhammad. Atheists will either make fun of you, patronize you, or oppose you as a danger to society. Maybe even, as in the communist nations, attempt to kill you. Even the Dalai Lama says that he must part company with anyone who finds Jesus to be not just a moral teacher, but the Creator himself. It is little wonder that the world hates Jesus. For what was true of those Jews who attempted to stone Jesus is true of the entire world. It is a rather extraordinary, one might say, well, extreme action on God's part to become man, to enter human flesh and to be born, to humble himself so that God actually could be stoned to death if he allowed it. It might not seem so bad at first that God would become man. If he came to conquer and rule, that might not be so bad. Unless you're one of the nations that gets conquered. But that is not why he came. He came to bear the sins of the world. The whole world. The Jews and the Gentiles. Yours and mine. God came into human flesh to die because only that kind of death would be enough to save the children of Abraham and the children of all men. And if that death alone is sufficient to save men, then Jesus, by his very presence, has excluded all the works of man. He has taken away all the middle ground between God and Satan. His presence demands that the world be divided up into only two groups: those who believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and those who are children of the devil. And so, as much as every group wants to claim Jesus as their own, Jesus will not cooperate with them. He says, if you loved me, you would believe my words. You would believe that the Father sent me and honors me. You would believe that before Abraham was, I am. You do not hear my words and believe on me, because your Father is not God, but the devil. There is no middle ground. But there are those who are more firmly in Satan's grasp than others. Now you would think that the ones whom Satan really holds tightly are the big sinners. The tax collectors, the prostitutes and thieves and murderers, all the troublemakers. But those are not the ones whom Jesus confronts. He does not say this to the prostitutes or the tax collectors. He does not say these words to the lame and the sick and the blind, or the lepers and the beggars. He only says it to the holy ones, the proud ones, the ones who are upstanding, the righteous ones, the ones who claim God as their Father, even as they hate his Son. He says it to the successful, the leaders of society, the well-respected ones. Those are the ones who are truly in the most desperate condition. It is not the notorious sinner who should be afraid, but the fine upstanding people who proudly boast to be God's favored ones. They are in Satan's grasp more firmly and more surely than any thief or murderer. Therefore, examine your own hearts and see whether you are finding your righteousness in yourself, whether you count yourself as children of the Father because of the life you lead here on earth, whether you despise sinners and distinguish yourself from them, whether Jesus for you is just an example in righteousness, or rather the Son of God in human flesh who came to redeem you because it was the only way he could, because you also are a lost and condemned creature, to redeem you from the agony of eternal death which you so justly deserve, along with the devil and his angels. You see, only when you are a lost and condemned sinner, only when Jesus is who he is, God in human flesh, Abraham's promised seed, does Jesus become your Savior rather than your enemy. Jesus is no Savior unless you are a sinner. He is no Savior if he is powerless to save you. And he is no Savior if he cannot actually redeem you from sin by bearing your punishment in his own human flesh. Therefore, Jesus can only be your Savior if he is the very same God who spoke to Abraham. If he is the one who is from the beginning, who has all power in heaven and earth, the God whom we praised in our first hymn. And he can only be that Savior if he becomes true man, so that as man he bears your sins in his own body. The world does not love this Jesus. It hates him. It hates his word. It hates his salvation. The moment you steal from them their false Christs and preach the true Christ, who is God in human flesh, come to redeem the world of sinners from eternal death, you may well find that they are also ready to stone you. The world hates Jesus because they follow in their footsteps, of the footsteps of their father the devil. And the devil above all hates the atonement which Christ brings by being the one who could truthfully say, before Abraham was, I am, and yet not be even 50 years old. So that he could then come and die upon a cross. For that is the undoing of Satan's kingdom. It breaks his power over men. And therefore Satan sets himself to rob from men the atonement of Christ by making men proud of their own holy lives. For people do not need God to come down in human flesh to save them, who are already just fine. Therefore let the hatred of the world remind you of the victory of Christ. Because the world only hates Christ because the devil hates Christ. And the devil only hates Christ because Christ, by his incarnation, cross, and death, has conquered the devil and won for you eternal life. If Christ had failed, then the world would love him. But he has not failed, and so the world hates him. He has won the victory. And death and hell for you are vanquished. And his victory is now your victory. And now he still comes among you today, in his flesh and blood even, in the Lord's Supper, to receive you as his own, promising you that through this you have been redeemed. Only a God-man could offer you such a wonderful and precious gift, could continue to come among his people and be the God of Abraham and be your friend and brother. God grant that you may always find in his blood and death your redemption. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. O Lord God Almighty, who art the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee for the revelation of thy grace in thy Son, for the wisdom which has ordained his crucifixion, for the high priestly sacrifice of his own body on the tree, for the gift of eternal redemption through his passion, for the promise of eternal life through his death. We thank thee, O God. Grant that under the New Testament sealed by his agony and death. He may mediate to us thy richest blessings, the forgiveness of all our sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and the assurance of everlasting life. We praise thee for the wondrous love of Christ our Savior. We thank thee that thou hast spoken through him the words of life. We beseech thee to help us at all times to be faithful to his word, that we may never taste the bitterness of death. Help us faithfully to honor him by faith and life, by word and deed. Grant that we may find him to be the great I Am of heaven, uncreated, eternal, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Inspire us to love and worship him in spirit and in truth. Out of thine infinite goodness, lift up thy church that it may be saved from all weakness and failure and empowered for holy service. Govern the nations of the earth that man may live everywhere without fear of his neighbor. Give thy grace to our homes and schools, that youth may be trained for usefulness in this life and for entrance into the life hereafter. Bless all who labor and give them the understanding that in all human toil we are accountable to thee. Help us to use our gifts as thy stewards. Forgive us all our transgressions. Be thou the comforter of the suffering and afflicted, the son of the aged, the supply of the needy, the protector of the fatherless, and the savior of all men. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn 358.
Oh,
up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh, Christ, the Lamb of God.
partake and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May his precious body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting, even as it has atoned for all your sins. Amen. Depart in peace. Body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting, even as it has atoned for all of your sins. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Oh,
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God, the Father, fountain source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in the sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
We sing hymn number 510.
Unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.